Well, good morning, Chatham Community Church. My name is Ernie Lane, and I am the Director of Student Ministries here and an elder at this church, and you could say that I am an occasional adult. The students keep me very young, but we are thankful that you have joined us here this morning to worship our Heavenly Father. And if this is your first time or first time in a long time in the church, we've been praying that you would be here. Welcome. We're so glad you joined us. Well, if you are new or visiting, or maybe I just haven't met you yet, after service, I'll be through those double doors. I'd love to hear about how you heard about our church. As Chris alluded to earlier, our campus pastor, Pastor Jaime, is actually at our North Chatham campus teaching today. And so he asked me to fill in for him here, and I said, yes, absolutely. I want to encourage you to come back next week if you're visiting or new, to come hear him and get to meet him because he is a wonderful man of God. We are one church in two locations. We've been blessed to have two locations, but at both places, what we're about is connecting people to God and to each other. Now, at some point in your lives, you have possibly turned to HGTV or DIY Network, or if there's any Chip and Joe fans, maybe you've possibly gone to the Magnolia Network. And there's a plethora of shows that you can watch. And I feel like the gateway to start watching these shows is probably House Hunters. But there's endless shows. And whether it's you want to get your first house, or you want to move, or maybe you just need some design inspiration, they have that for you. I mean, I've remembered multiple times something along the lines of saying, oh, I definitely wouldn't choose house number two, as if I could afford a $4.5 million oceanfront home in our family budget. But recently, I came across this show called Barnwood Builders that's been out for years, and it's a team of West Virginia skilled craftsmen who go throughout the Appalachian area, and they find these homes, and they salvage antique barns and cabins. And they take what looks like a run-down, unsafe, unworthy home and strip them down to their original wood. These buildings, these cabins and barns, they have good bones. The original building is good, and it's sturdy, and it's like the Creator wanted it to be. But over time, people wanted more. And so they added on, or they covered up that what was originally very good. And these original barns and cabins are left in the dark, hidden from the world, until this team comes in and strips them back to their original glory, exposing this wood that oftentimes they see where people have carved in them that are 150, 200 years old, and they're sturdy and strong. All summer long, we have been in a series called Forever Changed. And we can see change in many forms. Maybe it's in the form of I'm getting a new job, or maybe it's a change that you're in a relationship and you realize that, hey, I need to close the door on this relationship. Maybe you're in a relationship that you realize that you haven't been given your all and you need to change things, or you're going to lose that person that you cherish or that you love. Maybe you're in school and you realize that if you don't change things pretty soon in your studies and the way you study, that you're not going to get the grade that you want or possibly even fail. Change is often a very good thing for us and those around us. We can see the change we want in others very easily, but often turn a blind eye to the change that needs to happen within ourselves, or maybe we actually just don't see it. I know that each one of y'all do not need change specifically, but maybe the person next to you or across the room does. And no, please don't look at them right now. The truth is that we can all benefit from the change that will draw us closer to God. The problem is we want change to be simple and easy, to not cost us anything. And we want to know what's going to be at the other side of that change, that work that we're doing to try to change. We want to know what's at the end of the process. Anything worth doing is worth doing if it draws us closer to God. We see that in the passage that Tracy just read for us in the book of Mark. And the book of Mark is one of the four Gospels in the New Testament. It's the shortest Gospel. So if you've never read your Bible and you want to know a little bit more about Jesus, may I encourage you to start there. Mark is an action-packed book, and it jumps right into Jesus' ministry. It's written to a Gentile audience, which is the people who didn't have this Jewish heritage. They didn't know the culture and the things that they were supposed to be doing. So this passage, again, is a remarkable message of transformation, of being forever changed. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Jesus and the followers were crossing the lake after teaching to many that we read just before this happens. And oftentimes, Jesus would get away from the crowds. Sometimes he needed to get away from the crowd to go and to be in solitude, to be with his Father, to pray to him. Sometimes he needed to get away from the crowds because the crowds, oftentimes because of his teaching, wanted him to stay and be in one place. And that was counter to what Jesus' ministry needed to do, to share about God. So we see Jesus leaving and arriving on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee when this man comes out of the tombs. And because this man was afflicted with a demon, this man, he was living amongst the dead. The people had isolated him from their community. They had pushed him away. They had put him in the dark, trying to keep him from exposing himself or being around them and just affecting their day-to-day lives. They didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't want to have him make them uncomfortable. In the tombs, he was surrounded by darkness and decay and death. 1 month ago today, myself and other leaders, we were returning from camp. And so many of y'all contributed to our fundraisers to allow these students to go with little or no cost to their families. And I can't thank y'all enough for doing that. For those who don't know, there were 10 leaders that went and 36 students. And when we got there up to Black Mountain area, we joined another 1,400 students and leaders in this camp. And the theme for the camp was Into the Light. The leaders and I were able to witness students acknowledge that they weren't living in the light. They had parts of their lives that they tried to keep hidden in the dark, away from everyone. Wrongs that they had done that they didn't want to admit to. Some of them had addictions that they were already battling with as young as 13 years old. These are middle school to high school students. They tried to keep hidden and possibly even from the sight of God. But they kept these parts of their lives in the dark, in the tombs, amongst the dead. But have you ever been in a moment like that, a season in your life where you're just hoping that nobody ever finds out about this addiction that you have? Or maybe you have a secret that you tell yourself, hey, it's okay, I'm not hurting anyone, but I don't really want anybody to know about it, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. What about the anger that you hold inside and you just try to bury and bury and bury and hope that it never comes out? What do you do? The amazing thing that we saw in camp was students stepping into the light. They were acknowledging what was happening. They were sharing their secrets and the burdens that had held them back, that had held them down, or held them down from walking in the light the way that God intended them to be. And just like this demon-possessed man comes out of the tombs into the light to meet Jesus, is there a step that you can take today or this week to step into the light, a step to be forever changed? And now we see when the demon-possessed man saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." You see, even the demons submit to Jesus. They acknowledge who he is. He is the Son of God. They know the power he commands. They know that he can cause change. You see, this man was possessed by this demon called Legion. And he said, "We are many." And that would have held significance to the people that were hearing this from Mark, because Legion was what 6,000 Roman troops would have been. And they were under control by the Romans. Not just the Jewish people, but the Gentile nations as well. Legion gave this man superhuman strength that when they tried to bind him, he would break the chains and nobody could control him. So they sent him to live in the tombs. Yet, in all of this demon's power, he knew that he was no match for the power of the Son of God. And so he fell to his knees and pleaded with him. How often do we acknowledge the power of God? How often do we pray in Jesus' name? The demons knew right away what we can sometimes forget, that our God is almighty. When is the last time you fell to your knees to plead with God for his power to save someone, to heal someone, because you know of his goodness and his mercy? God sent his Son, Jesus, to the cross, not for the few, but for all. Jesus is the Savior, not for the few, but for all. In the past couple months, we have seen people in this church at both campuses submit to Jesus in a way that they have never done before in their lives. And they're doing it through their baptisms. They're doing it through their public declaration to be united with Christ. We've seen it happen from elementary age students all the way up to some very young 80-somethings. They accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And one thing that all these people have in common is the love that y'all have given them, the support that y'all have been there for them. You connect them to God. You provide them with a community. The love that you show for each of them and the willingness to serve them, all of that has been for each one of these people, no matter their age. But I know this, someone is praying, someone is on their knees pleading with God that more people come to know him, not only in this church, not only in this county, but beyond into the world. And I celebrate each and every baptism and affirmation of faith that we've had. But I have a special place in my heart for our students. And when they do this, when they come to know Christ, it's a highlight. And you can see physical transformations happen. I was able to witness it at camp. This student, he just made the decision when they were doing what's called an altar call. It's like when somebody asks you to publicly profess your faith in amongst a bunch of people. So there's 1,400 people around. And his hand shot up. And before that, I mean, he was fine. He looked okay. But when you paid attention to what he was before and the moment after, it's like you knew that he came and whatever he was carrying, he laid it at the feet of Jesus. And that weight, that burden, everything that was holding him down lifted away. And he started to walk more upright. He was lifted. He was lighter. He smiled more. There was joy coming out of him. They've been forever changed, each one of these people. And so after Jesus had said, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit," we see a large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And Jesus gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down into the steep bank of the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town and the countryside, and the people came out to see what had happened. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. 2,000 pigs is a lot of pigs. Okay, that's a lot of pigs. But we are told that this demon was many, and so it goes into the pigs. And the demon did not want to leave this area. The demon was perfectly comfortable afflicting this man and any who came around him. He didn't want to be sent into the abyss. But he knew that that was probably a possibility. So Jesus allowed this demon to go into the pigs. And then, of course, then they run, maybe in a way to escape, ran down this steep bank and fell into the lake and drowned anyway. But what I gather from this part of the story, what I love is we get to see where Jesus has taken his ministry. And prior to this in Mark, he had been around the people who knew who Jesus was, or knew about a coming Messiah. He was around religious leaders. And what we know from this is that pigs are ceremonially unclean. A Jewish person wouldn't have touched a pig. Therefore, the herdsmen weren't Jewish. We see Jesus in a Gentile area. He had taken his ministry to be amongst the Gentiles. And the amazing part about that is this is what most people think is the first non-Jewish miracle. And it's amazing because it kind of foreshadows what we're called to do as believers. These people, they don't know God, and they plead with Jesus to leave them. The demon-possessed man is there, and they see that, but they don't care. They had witnessed, whether they witnessed the miracle or they had heard it from the herdsmen, that it's beyond them. Some of them had seen the miracle, yet they didn't see. Some of them had heard about the miracle, yet they did not hear. All they cared about was for Jesus to leave. They didn't acknowledge the miracle that happened. They didn't acknowledge the healing that had happened. They let their fear win. They let their fear take over, even when good was being done right in front of them and for them. Now, maybe they were wondering how we're going to replace these pigs. It was probably their livelihood for so many. And any of us, when our jobs come to a point where we may lose them, we worry a lot. We worry about how we're going to provide for our family. And that could have been what they thought and why they wanted Jesus to leave. But they didn't. They didn't ask Jesus, how are we going to replace these pigs? They just wanted him gone, regardless of the miracle that had just happened in front of them. Now, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him. But he said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Not some, all the people were amazed that heard from this man. I love this moment, this when Jesus performs a miracle, and this time he tells the man that, yes, while you cannot go with me, I need you to go and share it. Go tell people everything that the Lord has done for you. When I read Mark and see Jesus perform these miracles, and then he tells the recipient, tell no one about this, or don't speak of this. It drives me crazy a little bit, if I'm going to be honest. Because even though my rational side of my brain knows, like, I know why Jesus is telling them to stay quiet, because the crowds will come, and I get it. But my celebratory side, my party side, is just wanting to share it with the world. When something good happens to us, we want to share it, right? We get a new job, we're sharing it. We get a promotion, we're sharing it. If we are engaged or having a baby, or maybe we just had an awesome meal last night with great friends, we're taking a picture of our plate, we're posting it online, and we're sharing it. We do those things, and none of those things compare to when Jesus healed the leper, or when Jesus healed the deaf mute man, or when Peter recognized Jesus as Messiah, and all those times Jesus told them not to tell anyone. But here is one of the moments that I celebrate. We get to celebrate that he instructs this man to go and tell the people. And so the man did just that. He went to his town and throughout the Decapolis to share what the Lord had done for him. And he actually, if you pick it up, Jesus says, tell what the Lord has done for you. The man goes and tells what Jesus has done. He calls him by name. He recognizes who Jesus is and had never known him before in his life. And the Decapolis is an area of 10 cities to the east and south of this Sea of Galilee. And I just imagine this man going from city to city, proclaiming all that Jesus did for him. How willing have you been in your life to share what Jesus, our Lord, has done for you? The goodness that he has shown you, the mercy that he has had for you. There have been moments in my life, and maybe you have felt the same, or maybe you still do, where you're just unsure if you're equipped to share the story. Well, let me tell you this. The best person to share your story is you. And the second thing is, you are equipped to share your story because Jesus said so. Did you notice that Jesus didn't tell this man, hey, stay with me and my disciples for a little bit. Let me teach you how to talk, how to, you know, our ways, and then I'm going to send you to your people to talk and tell them everything. He sent them almost immediately. We had the miracle, and then the pigs dying, and the herdsmen running off and bringing people out, and they're telling him to leave, and then Jesus complies and gets in the boat to leave, and the guy wants to go with him. And Jesus says, stay. There's no time for instruction, more than likely. Just go share your story. And maybe you say, Ernie, I can share my story, but I just want to be better equipped. I want to have a better way to, maybe I can share my story, but I need to be able to share more about God and Jesus and what he's done for us. And that's great. That's wonderful to want to better yourselves to do the kingdom work that we've been called to do. And if you're feeling that way, if you're in that point, one of the summer betters that's coming up is called Everyday Evangelism. And it's going to be on Wednesday nights. And I'd love for you to go to the website that Chris talked about earlier and check it out. And that may be the tool. That may give you the prompting. It may give you the encouragement that you need to share your story for the first time. Or maybe it encourages you to share your story in a way that you feel like you're honoring God. There are so many things that we can take from this story, and this is just a few. So, how do we live this life? How are we going to be forever changed? The first thing that we can do is we can look at our life and what needs to be brought into the light. We can think that, hey, I'm good and I'm an open book and everybody knows everything there is to know about me, but I'm going to take something from that I've heard our lead pastor say, Alex, say it several times of, what if we were to take every action and thought that you've had for the past 24 hours and put it on these screens? Or for the past week or month or year? How open are we then? How good do we feel about our lives? Are we keeping everything in the light, or is there actually some things that are in the dark? You see, we all are going to struggle with sins. We're all going to struggle with burdens that weigh us down and keep us from how we're supposed to be. But when you step into the light, when you take that whatever it is into the light, it could be something as simple as just sharing it with somebody or naming it. It could be in prayer to God and acknowledging this is something that you have kept in the dark for a long time, hoping that maybe it goes away or maybe it just doesn't get any worse. You can admit that you tried to keep it from him as well, which leads me to this. We acknowledge the power of our Lord. We acknowledge the power of our Lord. We worship him and plead with him for help for whatever that we're carrying with us, whatever we're keeping in the dark, whatever we're keeping in the tombs that is keeping us from living life the way that he has called us to live. And when we pray to him, when we plead to him, he may provide that support, those people for us in our lives that come and say, hey, I'm here with you. I'm going to walk with you through this. Maybe it's going to be a community that shows up around you and supports you. Maybe it's a nudge to do what Chris talked about earlier of that celebration recovery. I'm so thankful that we have that here at our church. To hear these leaders that are leading it talk about and pray and so much care for the people, the participants that are going through it. And the thing is that these participants, what they have done is they have stepped into the light with whatever they're carrying. It may be an addiction. It may be a hurt that they're holding on to. It may be something that's just keeping them from being what God has called them to be. But they have brought it to the light, and they have acknowledged that they need help, and they need help from the Lord. And then lastly, we're going to share what the Lord has done for us. We're going to share what he has done for us. We share our story, the work that God has done or is doing in our lives. We may be in the beginning of our story, or we may be in a healing process from hurt or pain, burden, a secret that we don't know people want people to know about. But no matter where we are with this pain or this hurt or this frustration, we can use it and possibly turn it into an inspiration for others. The problem is they'll never have a chance if you don't share it with them. You could be the person that someone else has been on their knees pleading God to help them. And you can walk into their life. So if we are able to step into the light and acknowledge the power of God and share what the Lord has done for us, that will be a way to leave us forever changed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and acknowledge your power to change lives. We ask that as we go through our week, you illuminate the things in our lives that we need to bring into the light. We pray that you surround us with a community to support us when needed, that you give us the strength to endure the path to change, that you remove any obstacle that would prevent us from the change that draws us closer to you. We are thankful that you didn't come for the few, but for all who call on your name. Lord, we love you. We worship you. You are so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.